And even though the first two ones are much shorter than the long one of the prodigal son, the message is exactly the same. Okay. Now, still have some more time. There is a book that I like, and I will be quoting from it quite some this week, and I will suggest a couple of times that you obtain a copy of it. It's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I would really appreciate if they would find a different title for this book, because catechism is a term that has so many, you know, not so helpful connotations. Catechism, school, class, teacher, bed, learn by heart, no, don't want. The catechism is, see, they put this together in, I don't know, a couple of years of work, and literally the whole church around the globe was contributing to it, you know, through the bishops and whatever, but like, it's really, it's a book of the church in any sense of the word, and it contains pretty much most of what, I always say my church, what our church teaches, and is really nice. It has numbers, you know, they gave a number to each paragraph, so you can quote it really easily. You say, Catechism 576, so everybody can look it up. Now, I went to school already when I was still older, because I'm a slow man, and there was an old man in school, a teacher, was trying hard to teach us Latin and some Greek, and with a marginal success, but they kept trying. And they said also that authors, the most important that they say, they put it either at the beginning or at the end of what they write. Yeah, so the first few lines of a gospel are very important. You discover the key to the gospel in the first verse of a gospel. So in the catechism, the first lines are not just any other lines. They are the first lines. So catechism number one, you know, like number one. The life of man, this is a deficiency in the English language, because they don't say the life of a human being, that is too long, so they say man, but they mean mankind. Okay, so there's not just, you know, for half of the audience. Okay, ladies, welcome. The life of man, to know and love God. This is a perfect headline over this week. If you want, you can choose another one. The life of man, to know and love God. This is how the catechism starts. The first headline, the first title. This is where we go off from. And then I read it to you. Don't try to copy it. Read it in another. It's about this much. I will read it once, and then I will start explaining. Okay, so don't try. Didn't get every line. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created mankind to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to men and women. He calls man to seek him, to know him, to love him with all his strength. See, these are lines, they make me very excited. for some reason to the audience, that happens very seldom. They just sit there and say, praise God, is over. First, God infinitely blessed, perfect and blessed in Himself. God infinitely perfect and blessed in Himself. That means you cannot make Him any happier. Okay? Infinitely perfect and blessed. There is no space for better. There is no space for improvement. Infinitely perfect and blessed. You don't make Him happier. And if you live the saintliest life, and if you never sin, and do everything right, and give your life for God, and it does not make Him happier, He cannot be happier. He is as happy as one can be. Perfectly. So you also cannot make Him unhappier. To me, that was good news. Because that means He did not create me so He could be happier. He did not create me so that I could bring Him pleasure that He would not have without me. Because that means He will not use me to be happier. He will not be upset with me because I don't make Him so happy today. This for me is very important. Because with my father, that made the difference how I behaved. It made him happier or not so happy. Of course, I was a very good boy. You understand, this is a very important line. It's just a few words, but it makes a big difference. Do you know when you go to pray that you don't make him happier or unhappier? That he is not upset with you because yesterday you did not make him so happy? See, for God, we are not a very good business. He always loses. He always has to put in so much more than he gets out. So for business, he did not create us. He cannot get anything from us that he had not given to us before. You cannot give to God anything that he has not given to you before. So what gain would he have from you? None. See, if I have a lot of children, I could secure my old age, hopefully. Some people have a lot of children because of that. God not. His old age is secured. If he would want you to support his old age, he would have to give you with what you should support. You know, he has no gain from you. Am I making this? Why? Should I do something different? So why then, what motivated him in creating me then, if he can't get anything out of me? If there is no gain in it for him, why on earth did he create you? See, this is the second part. It says, God infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness. Only goodness, nothing else. No second thought, no string attached. Sheer goodness, in a plan of sheer goodness. All that motivated him was only goodness. See, if I washed your cup after lunch, at least I would like to hear thank you. This is not sheer goodness. Do you know what I mean? I expect something. God doesn't. Sheer goodness. In a plan of sheer goodness, freely created men and women. He didn't have to. It was not something that was kind of, you know, written in the storybook for him to do. He created you freely, not because he had to. Not because you, bang, happened. He wanted you. So in a plan of sheer goodness, he freely created you. And now they say, for which purpose? To make him, you, share in his own blessed life. That's the purpose of your life. Full stop. Everything else will be only an explanation of this. The reason why God, motivated only by goodness, freely created you because he wanted you, the only reason is because he wants you to share in his very own blessed life. That's the purpose of your life. That's the meaning of life. That's where life makes sense. This is only, you know, 2.5 lines, and they contain the most important truth about you and me and about our Creator. God is perfect. He does not need us. He has no gain from us. So he creates you motivated just by goodness. He doesn't have, you know, like, I create Fritz so I have a missionary in India. No. See, that is second thoughts. He doesn't have sheer, pure goodness. And he created you freely, not because he had to. He wanted you. This is why he created you. I will say this a couple of times, you will see. See, when he created you because he wanted you. If he would have wanted a second Mother Teresa, he would have created a second Mother Teresa. But you are not a second Mother Teresa because he did not want another Mother Teresa, he wanted you. And you are not a mistake. He did not forget to give you what it takes to become a second Mother Teresa. He wanted you. Exactly you. You know, with all the things you can and all the things you can't and everything. Come to this a little later also. So, for this reason, and because he created you freely to share in his very own life. You know, to partake of God's divine life. This is kind of a calling, no? I mean, I think it's hard to top. That's the reason why you are created, because God invites you to partake of his very own divine life. I'm very happy that this is written in the catechism, because otherwise I think no one of you would believe me. In the beginning, I think of 2 Peter, it says pretty much the same. The second letter of St. Peter. Having said this, to make you share in his own blessed life. For this reason, because this is your calling, because this is the purpose of your life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, that means here and now. Every time, every place, That means here and now, this moment in this lecture hall, God draws close to men and women. Because this is the calling, because this is why He created us, because He invites us like this, for this reason, here and now, God draws close to us. And then it says, He calls men and women to seek Him, to know Him, to love Him with all their strength. And this is something the English Catechism has a very bad mistake. No, I'm serious. It's a bad mistake. You see, if you want, I can show it to you later somewhere on the beamer. We don't really have to see. See, I went, like, this is the English version, the French, the German, the Latin, and the Spanish version. They are all saying the same, except the English. The English is missing something, and I think they just, you know, sort of missed it, lapsus. I mean, like, forgot to copy or something. I don't know. I'm serious. It's not... Because, you see, in all the other translations of the Catechism, it says, He calls man and helps him. And if you ever buy an English Catechism, fill it in. I can leave the paper if you understand any of the other languages. In all of them, it is there. For sure, in the Latin one, which is kind of the, you know, the prototype. So it's not a translation. They just forgot to add it in. I don't know. But just, you know, I can leave it here. You can also just believe me. He calls him and helps him. And this helps him, this makes for me all the difference in the world. This is why I'm so hitting on this. Because you see, then God is not just saying, okay, so here's invitation, I call you, you should seek me, know me, and love me with all your strength. Now perform. Let me see. This is not how. What it says is, God calls you and He helps you. He calls you to seek Him and He helps you to seek Him. He calls you to know Him and He helps you to know Him. He calls you to love Him and He helps you to love Him with all your strength. He is with us. He is not just sending out the invitation, pass down all the means, you know, grace, and then wait for us to make it. In fact, it says, at every time and in every place, He draws close to us to call us and to help us. So He isn't just sitting somewhere now and say, let me see what they get out of this week. He draws close to you here, and when you walk out, and at lunch, and when you go to your room, because He has one desire, that you make it to share in His very own divine life. And for this, He does everything, all the time, and in every place. See, this few lines put at the very beginning of the Catechism, because all the rest of the Catechism is only an outworking of how this happens, of how God helps us. I could just start from the beginning again. Because you see, in this few lines, you see something more important about your God and your life is hard to say. I mean, the God that we worship, and yes, you know, the God, you know, so huge, so infinite, so, and, you know, we can hardly, you know, really start to grasp anything of it. And he says, I would like you to join my life, to partake of my divine life, to touch this blessedness, to enter into my joy. See, and at this point, then you must be careful that you don't think, well, yeah, for all the other participants, that could be. I can't imagine that for me. You know, God can call all kind of people, but probably not me. He means exactly you. He means exactly you. Not someone who is better than you. Not someone who is more virtuous than you are. He means you. Today. He calls you today. I told you that, like this morning, it would be the most difficult of all, like this week. It's because, you see, while I stand here, you know, I've been, you know, talking this and sharing this, like, you know, so many times over the years, and it remains, you know, this one piece that's most difficult to make it stay and remain, you know, more than, oh yeah, lecture, oh that was nice to hear, God loves me, fine, you go out of the door. And you can imagine that all kind of people are loved, but you don't feel yourself loved at all. See, my son, I love my son. And I can also, you know, tell him. But unless he feels loved, he will... Otherwise, if he does not feel loved, it is for him as if he is not loved. Even if my heart would be golden, which it isn't, trust me, you can ask my wife. Even if my heart would be golden, and my son does not feel that he is loved, for him it is as if I do not love him. You know what I mean? I can preach about God's love until I'm blue in the face. But the question is whether that love has reached me. Do I feel loved by God? And there is not a right answer to it. Do you know what I mean? Like you should say, no, there's only an honest answer to it. And with this honest answer, or looking for this honest answer, I would like to, you know, sent you into whatever lunch break and stuff. Do I feel loved by God? And then start talking to him about it. See, God is not there saying, well, why do you tell me these things? You know that you should feel loved by me. Yeah, it even sounds stupid. He draws near to you, no matter where you are, here and now. He draws near to you to help you, to call you and to help you. To love him, to enter into this love. He isn't staying there and say, well, look, like now you heard so many things, like how come? No, he helps you. And so you talk with him and you tell him, look, Lord, I don't feel love because what is there, he takes serious. So don't push it just aside. It is there. You cannot say to the things that come up from here. You know what I mean from here? From the guts, you know? You cannot say to those things that come up from here, you shouldn't exist, so you're not there. They are there, they are there. Take them. But take them into conversation with the one who draws near to you and helps you to seek him and to love him. Love him is not the performance from your side. You see, your love is always only a response from the love that comes from his side. We are not initiating the relationship with God. Our is always a response to his grace, to his working in our life. Take it to him. Oh, you can just look at that word again, at Luke 15. And remember, like this morning when we open scripture, the Father in heaven comes running to me and he takes on the conversation with me. And let us seek, let us cry out, let us desire that this conversation happens, that we enter into God's love, or that God's love enters into us, whichever way. And do I feel loved? And you can say, look, Lord, I know it's there, but I just don't. Or go for a walk. It's amazing when you speak so you can hear. It's so much better. Don't start crying, shouting now all in the yard here. But no, really take, if you find a moment just by yourself, and start communicating with him. Say, Lord, this is my heart. This is where I am. Can you help me here? So, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that you are this Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're not just expecting us to come a certain way, but you draw near to us, you draw close to us to help us towards you. Lord, we pray you pour out this grace of encountering you and entering into your love and having your love entering into us. Lord, we pray that you are present in all our conversations, in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, that this day and this week will be a time, Lord, where we draw closer to you because you are drawing us closer to yourself. And Lord, thank you for your help and thank you for being so close to us. Amen.